Our text for study this morning is Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, and then Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1, and Hebrews 5, verses 4 to 6. Let me read to you Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Hebrews 5, verses 4 to 6. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now in our last few studies in Hebrews, we saw how Jesus Christ our Lord is superior to Moses. Moses did not lead the people of Israel into the promised rest. In fact, Moses himself was forbidden to enter the promised land. Joshua was the leader who led the people of Israel into the physical rest, but not into the promised spiritual rest. So the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 8, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on." But what about Aaron, the first high priest? Was it possible for the Aaronic priesthood, with all its sacrificial system, its sacrifices and ceremonies, could all of that bring a troubled soul into rest? Now the Hebrew Christians who received this letter were greatly tempted to return to the religion of their fathers. Any Jew could travel to Jerusalem and see the temple there and see the priests ministering at the altar. So there was something real that they could see, something visible and concrete. We must remember they were going through persecution. So when a person is going through persecution, as these Hebrew Christians were, it is much easier to walk by sight than by faith when persecuted. So we must not forget that these early Jewish believers in Christ were going through intense persecution. And it was so easy for them, they were tempted to go back to the Jewish religion. Many believers in Christ have doubted. Even going through much lesser difficulties, they have gone through doubts about their faith. So how much more these believers would have gone through doubt? So understanding their temptation to go back to the Levitical priesthood, which was still there during that time, the writer knows this, and so he's explaining the superiority of the priesthood of Christ over Aaron. He knew that they could easily be tempted to go back to the Levitical system. So now what he does is he explains the superiority of Jesus Christ over the priesthood of Aaron. The central theme of Hebrews is the priesthood of Jesus Christ. The priesthood of Jesus Christ. What he is now doing in heaven on behalf of his people. That is the central theme of the book of Hebrews. Is the high priestly ministry of Christ superior to that of Aaron and his successors? Yes, it is. The writer proves that the high priestly ministry of Jesus is superior to that of Aaron, and he presents four arguments for this proof. Number one, he says, The Lord Jesus has a superior designation, a superior designation. Hebrews chapter 4 verses 14 to 16. Number 2, the Lord Jesus has a superior ordination. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1 and Hebrews chapter 5 verses 4 to 6. Number 3, the Lord Jesus reveals a superior compassion. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 2 and Hebrews chapter 5 verses 7 to 8. And number 4, the Lord Jesus offered a superior sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 3, Hebrews chapter 5 verses 9 to 10. We will just look at the first 2 points today. Number 1, the Lord Jesus has a superior designation. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. In Hebrews 4, 14 it says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession." Jesus Christ is the great high priest. Hebrews 4, 14. Aaron was a high priest, but Jesus Christ is a great high priest. No Old Testament priest can assume that title, that designation. But in what does the greatness of Jesus Christ consist? That's the question. Number 1, Jesus Christ is both God and man. He is Jesus, the Son of God. Now that name Jesus means Savior, and that identifies his humanity and his ministry on earth. And Son of God affirms his deity, the fact that he is God. So in his unique person, we must remember always, Jesus is 100% man, 100% God. So in his unique person, Jesus unites both deity and humanity. In the second person of the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead, the second person, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his unique person, there is the deity and humanity together. So in his unique person, Jesus Christ unites deity and humanity. He can bring people to God and bring to people all that God has for them. He can bring people to God and he can bring to people all that God has for them because of that unique person he is. 100% God, 100% man. Not only in his person, but also in his position, Jesus Christ is greater. Now Aaron and his successors ministered in the tabernacle and in the temple areas. They entered once a year into the Holy of Holies. But Jesus Christ has passed through the heavens. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14. Remember, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. So Jesus Christ has passed through the heavens. When he ascended to the Father, Jesus Christ passed through the atmospheric heaven and the planetary heavens. He passed into the third heaven where God dwells, where the very presence of God is. The Apostle Paul speaks about this third heaven in his testimony about himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 2. He says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows." The writer is indirectly asking the question to these Hebrews who are tempted to go back to the Levitical system. He is indirectly asking the question, Isn't it much more better to have a high priest who ministers in a heavenly tabernacle, a high priest who ministers in a heavenly tabernacle than in an earthly tabernacle? Isn't it better to have a high priest who ministers in a heavenly tabernacle than in an earthly tabernacle? So why be tempted to go back to the Levitical system? That is what he's asking them indirectly. But there is another aspect to the position of Christ and his designation as the great high priest. Not only is he in heaven, but he is enthroned. He is enthroned in heaven. And his throne is the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant in Old Testament, in the tabernacle and in the temple, The mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant was God's throne in Israel. In the instructions that God gave Moses in making the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, God tells Moses in Exodus chapter 25, verses 17 to 22, "You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, and 1 cubit and a half its breadth. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold. Of hammered work shall you make them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub on the one end and 1 cherub on the other end. Of 1 piece with the mercy seat shall you make the cherub on its 2 ends. The cherub shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings. Their faces one to another toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark. And in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. There I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel." So that's what God told Moses. But God's throne in Israel, in the Holy of Holies, it could never be called a throne of grace. It could never be called a throne of grace because grace does not veil itself from the people. Remember, the Holy of Holies was veiled from the holy place. To enter the Holy of Holies, only the high priest could enter, and that too only once. He could go beyond the veil once a year. So grace does not veil itself from the people. So that throne was not a throne of grace. Grace does not hide itself in a temple or in a tent. The common people, in fact, were not permitted to enter the holy boundaries of the tabernacle or the temple. The priests got only as far as the veil. They could not go beyond the veil. The high priest alone went beyond the veil, and that too only once a year on the Day of Atonement. And we find the instructions of how the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies in Leviticus chapter 16, after all the elaborate sacrifices that had to be done. Only after that he could go into the Holy of Holies, that too only once a year. But every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today is invited, and he is even encouraged to come boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, I read now from the King James Version. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." What a great throne it is, because our great high priest is ministering there. Jesus Christ, our great high priest, is enthroned in heaven. He is enthroned in heaven. He is our great high priest, and he is enthroned in heaven. Now something else makes him great. What is it? He is ministering mercy and grace to those who come for help. We are encouraged to go to the throne of grace boldly, and we can receive mercy and grace when we go to him for help. So he is ministering mercy and grace to those who come for help. Now mercy means that God does not give us what we do deserve. And grace means that he gives us what we do not deserve. No Old Testament high priest could minister mercy and grace in quite the same way as the Lord Jesus Christ can. When an Israelite was tempted, he could not easily run to the high priest for help. And he certainly could not enter the Holy of Holies for God's help. But as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, today we can run to our high priest at any time, boldly, in any circumstance, and we can find help, we can find mercy and grace in our time of need. Now, because of the superiority of Jesus Christ, the great high priest, over Aaron, 2 important conclusions can be drawn. Number one, there is no need in giving up our confession of faith just because we are going through a time of testing and trial. And this is very important for us. You see, many believers today are going through depression because of this COVID-19, because they are not recognizing that they can go to the throne of grace at any time with whatever need we have. And if you don't recognize that, We will get into all kinds of unnecessary depression, anxiety, worry over the future, and all kinds of unnecessary thoughts will creep into our minds. So we need to think rightly. We have the throne of grace where our Lord Jesus Christ is enthroned, our great high priest in heaven. He has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. And he is there for us. And we can approach him at any time, wherever we are. So there is no need in giving up our confession of faith just because we are going through a difficult time, a testing time, or a time of trial. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. So we don't give up our confession of faith. We hold fast our confession. The King James Version uses the word profession. The word translated profession actually means confession. You see, these Hebrew Christians, they were tempted to give up their confession of faith in Christ. They were tempted to give up their confidence in him and go back to the Levitical system. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6. Hebrews 3 verse 6. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 14. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. So it was not a matter of giving up their salvation. Salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. I've said that so many times. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. It was a matter of their public confession of faith. By returning to the old Testament system, they would be telling everyone that they had no faith in Christ. In the book of Galatians chapter 2 verse 21, Paul writes, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. So the writer of the Hebrews is telling us, listen, this great high priest is far superior to Aaron. He shed his own blood on the cross and he died and rose again from the dead, and he has ascended and he has passed through the heavens and he is seated at the right hand of God, and his throne is a throne of grace to which we can go to boldly at any time with whatever problem we have, because we will find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. What a blessed assurance. So we must not give up our confession. Our profession of faith. Galatians 2:21. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. This kind of unbelief would only bring reproach to the name of Christ. If they went back to the Levitical system, it will bring only reproach to the name of Christ. Let us never forget, the great purpose of salvation is the glory of God. The great purpose of salvation is the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 5 to 6. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Ephesians 1 verse 12. So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. Ephesians 1 verse 14. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. So the great purpose of salvation is the glory of God. It was the glory of God that Moses was so concerned about when Israel broke God's law and made that golden calf. Remember Exodus chapter 32. What happened as a result? God actually offered to destroy the nation and to begin a new one from Moses. But Moses refused. He refused the offer. Instead, what did Moses do? Moses interceded for Israel. He interceded for Israel on the basis of God's glory and God's promise. And God spared the people, but he disciplined the people. Exodus chapter 32 verses 11 to 13. But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, With evil intent did he bring them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. The second conclusion is this: there is no need to go back to the Old Testament priesthood, because we can boldly come into the presence of God and we can get the help that we need. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So there is no trial or temptation or trouble that is too great. There is no temptation that is too strong that God cannot handle. Our Lord Jesus can give us the mercy and the grace that we need when we need it. So no matter what difficulty you're going through, all you need to do is cry out to God and come to God, because He's a God whose throne is a throne of grace, and you can find mercy and grace in your actual problem, in your need. But some might say, He's so far away and He's the perfect Son of God. What can He know about the problems of weak sinners like me? But that is a part of His greatness. When He was ministering on earth in a human body, don't forget, He experienced all that we experience and even more, yet He was sinless. Remember, He was sinless. A sinless person feels temptations and trials in a much greater way than you and I, who are sinners, could ever feel them. Christ was tempted, yet He did not sin. And so He is able to help us when we are tempted. If we fail to hold fast our confession, we are not proving that Jesus Christ has failed. We are only telling the world that we failed. We failed to draw on His grace and mercy when it was freely available to us. And instead of going to Him, we succumb to the pressures of the world. Number two, the Lord Jesus has a superior ordination. Superior ordination. Superior priesthood, superior ordination. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1 and Hebrews chapter 5 verses 4 to 6. Hebrews 5 verse 1. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Hebrews 5 verses 4 to 6. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by God, but was appointed by him who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. No Jew could appoint himself as a priest, let alone as high priest. Remember King Saul. He invaded the priesthood and he lost his kingdom. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Korah and his fellow rebels who rebelled against Moses and Aaron. Together they tried to make themselves priests. Korah and his fellow rebels. They tried to make themselves priests and God judged them. Numbers chapter 16. Then you have King Uzziah. King Uzziah, he tried to enter the temple and he tried to burn incense like the priests. And God smote him with leprosy. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verses 16 to 21. Aaron was chosen by God to be the high priest. And he was duly ordained and installed in office. And you can find out all about how he was ordained in Exodus chapter 28. Aaron was chosen from men to minister for men. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. So his main task was at the altar to offer the sacrifices God had appointed. Hebrews chapter 8 verses 3 to 4. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. Unless the sacrifices were offered according to the law, in the right place, by the right person, they were not accepted by God. The very existence of a priesthood and a system of sacrifices gives evidence that man is separated from God. And without sacrifice, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. It was actually an act of grace on God's part to institute the whole Levitical system, because without sacrifice, there is no forgiveness of sin. Today, that Levitical system is fulfilled in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is both the sacrifice and the high priest who ministers to God's people on the basis of his once for all offering on the cross. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 13 and 14. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The subject of ordinations stated in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1 is further developed in Hebrews chapter 5 verses 4 to 6. So we'll read again Hebrews 5, 4 to 6, 4 to 6. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 4 to 6. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Jesus Christ did not appoint himself as high priest. He was appointed by God the Father. The quotation in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 5 is from Psalm 2 verse 7. Hebrews 5 verse 5 says, "So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" That quotation is Psalm 2 verse 7. "I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" Now this psalm was already quoted in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 5 to prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is divine. But the emphasis here in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 5 is on the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ and not on his deity, as it was in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 5. What significance then does this quotation have for the argument of Jesus Christ as the high priest? The answer to that question is in Acts chapter 13 verses 33 to 34, where the apostle Paul quoted Psalm 2 verse 7 and then he explains what it means. Acts 13 verses 33 to 34. "This he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus, as also it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David.'" The phrase, "today have I begotten you," does not refer to the birth of Jesus Christ at Bethlehem. It refers to his resurrection from the dead. The Son of God was begotten into a glorious new life in his resurrection. The Son of God was begotten into a glorious new life in his resurrection. He ascended to heaven in a glorified body to become the high priest, our high priest at the throne of grace. And when Aaron was ordained to the priesthood, Aaron offered the sacrifices of animals. But Jesus Christ, to become our high priest, he offered the sacrifice of his own blood. He offered himself as the sacrifice, and then he rose again from the dead. But God the Father not only said, "You are my son," in Psalm 2 verse 7, he also said, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Psalm 110 verse 4. Hebrews 5 verse 6 says, as he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Hebrews chapter 5 verse 6 is quoting Psalm 110 verse 4. Psalm 110 verse 4 says, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Psalm 110 was also quoted earlier, remember, in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 13, to affirm the final victory of the Lord Jesus Christ over all his enemies. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 13. And to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? That's Psalm 110. When Aaron was ordained, God did not speak directly to him and declare his priesthood. But the father made this special declaration concerning his son. Two factors make the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ unique, and therefore his ordination is far greater than that of Aaron. Number one, he is a high priest forever. He is a high priest forever. No Old Testament priest ministered forever, because each priest died and that office was relinquished to his successor. The word forever is an important word in the Epistle of Hebrews. Six times at least the writer affirms the high priesthood of Jesus Christ is forever. He affirms in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 6 and then in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 20. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 20, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 17, "For it is witnessed of him, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Then Hebrews chapter 7 verse 21, "But this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, 'The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever.'" Then again, Hebrews 7 verse 24, "But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever." Hebrews 7 verse 28, "For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever." And since he's a priest forever, he gives his people salvation forever. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25, "Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." He always lives to make intercession for them. So the eternal security of my salvation is not based on anything that I do. The eternal security of my salvation is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his intercession on my behalf in heaven. And he's doing that forever. Number two, the second factor that makes Jesus Christ's ordination unique is that he belongs to a different order from the Old Testament priests. The Old Testament priests, they belong to the order of Aaron. But Jesus Christ belongs to the order of Melchizedek. And this is a key truth explained in the book of Hebrews. So we must take time to examine it and understand it. And we will learn of this a lot more in the later chapters. Melchizedek is mentioned only in two places. He is mentioned only in two places in the entire Old Testament. Genesis chapter 14 verses 17 to 24 and Psalm 110 verse 4. What does his name mean? His name means King of Righteousness. And he was also King of Salem. Salem means Shalom, which is peace. So his name means King of Righteousness, King of Salem, or King of Peace. But the fascinating thing about Melchizedek is that he was both a priest and a king. That is the uniqueness about Melchizedek. King Uzziah, he wanted to be a priest also. He wanted to be both a priest and a king, and God judged him with leprosy. Only in Jesus Christ and in Melchizedek, who came before the law, we see these two offices. We see priest and king combined. Jesus Christ is a high priest on a throne. The reason Jesus Christ can be a priest forever is that he belongs to the order of Melchizedek. He's our high priest and he's our king. He's on a throne. As far as the Old Testament record is concerned, Melchizedek did not die. And we read in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 3, "He is without father or mother," this is regarding Melchizedek, Hebrews chapter 7 verse 3. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. But resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. We must remember this Melchizedek is not a phantom, he's not a ghost. He's a real person. He was a priest. He was the priest of the God Most High, to whom Abraham gave tithe. And he was also king of Salem. So he was a real person. But in the scripture, we don't have a record of his beginning or his death. Of course, because he was a real man, he did die at some time, but the record is not given to us. So Melchizedek actually becomes a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is a priest forever. But Melchizedek also pictures our Lord as a heavenly high priest. Jesus Christ could never have served as a priest when he was on earth. Why? Jesus could never have served as a priest when he was on earth. He could not go into the temple as a priest, because he did not belong to the tribe of Levi. Jesus was born of the seed of David, the tribe of Judah. He became the sacrifice on earth that he might become the high priest in heaven. And all of these truths are actually developed later on in Hebrews chapter 7 to chapter 10, but they are just introduced here. So what do we receive this morning with regard to these truths? Please do remember that you have a great high priest in heaven. He has a superior designation, a superior title, and he has a superior ordination than the high priest of the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Don't forget this verse. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I know that each one of you have some special area of need at this point of time. Some struggle that you might be going through, some trial or some temptation that you're going through, or some kind of an oppression that is upon you. Whatever it may be that you're going through right now, whatever the trial may be, remember that you can come to the throne of grace with confidence, and you can receive mercy, and you can find grace to help in time of need. Let us bow our heads in prayer.